Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Journey into the Light Spiritual Radio here on a Thursday night. We are so glad that you are here. Really got a great guest for you here coming up. Angel Cusack is our guest, and she's going to be talking about astral projection. Last week, at the end of the show, I was asking her if we could talk about that this week, and she is so knowledgeable on so many subjects, and you can go to her website and check out all about Angel. And Angel has conducted well over 15,000 case study of psychic development in London. Angel's established practice was popular throughout all of Europe for many years. Having attended the London College of Psychic Studies for well over a decade and granted access to the inner circles of advanced psychic development, Angel has worked with some of the most distinguished psychics, mediums, and healers of our time, attending the Royal National Academy for Medical Hypnosis and Psychotherapy at the hospital in England. And again, you can find more about Angel, and she's so well studied and learned, and I'm amazed. So again, her website, angelville.net, is where you could find. And Angel is here every Thursday night. We always have amazing talks, and I really mean that, and find out so much about all things spiritual. And the shows that Angel has done here already are in the archives. So make sure you check that out after listening to this show. And I just want to say a quick shout out. If you think spirituality starts with helping one another and you like to help people, please go to our Journey in Light Homeless Project. You can find the GoFundMe link right here on the show page. And what I do is I go to the homeless every weekend here. I live in Oklahoma City. And I help them where they're at. And I so believe in helping one another because that's why I do this show. People ask, well, why do you do this show, Mike, for so many years? It's very simple. It's because of the people that get help from the show. But there's more that we can do. We as a body, as a community. And I'm going to be talking about this through 2017. Every day you're going to hear from me. And please help and support. Go to GoFundMe.com. And though few that have donated, I just want to say my hat's off to you. And thank you so much for helping others, because that's what it's all about. I've listed just a couple of the homeless people that I have helped. There's many, many more, but I just want to put a couple on the show page here. But they are so loving, so grateful, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to judge at all. We're not supposed to say, well, some of the things that are said about homeless people is just judgmental, it's nasty, and it's wrong. So ain't going there. So anyway, our GoFundMe link is right here on the show page. Make a difference in someone else's life today. And I thank you. Okay, on with the show. Let's bring in Angel here from the beautiful state of Colorado, actually from Aspen, Colorado. Angel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mike. It's nice to be here.
How is Aspen right now? You got a lot of snow?
A lot of snow. X Games just finished, and it's a great conditions if you like to ski.
Do you ski?
Not willingly, no.
Not willingly?
No.
What does that mean? do they force you to ski or something? Is there
when you're younger, your husband, boyfriends, whatever, want you to ski, and then you just do it for them, and then it's like, well, you don't get into it the way they do, so. At least I do. I'm an anomaly. Most people love it out here. Everybody lives for it.
Yeah.
When it's snow day, nobody's in the stores. Nobody's in the. It's like a gone fishing signs everywhere. But they went snowing.
They went snowing.
They went skiing. Yeah.
They went skiing all every day. And then they come out at night to the stores.
No, they don't. They're no, no.
Really?
They work. Isn't very good here. Yeah, everyone's here for one reason, and that's to play in the snow. Yeah.
Well, they gotta like eat and stuff afterwards, right?
Oh,
like,
I
restaurants
know.
Are
that's
busy.
The work ethic is not good.
I get you.
Not like New York City
you.
Or, you know, some big city where you have to survive, and people out here could care less. They live on a shoestring, and they just want to have a good life, have fun.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Reality.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then reality hits. Because
if you
don't have health insurance and stuff, it's pretty expensive, you know.
Oh, I'm sure it's really expensive up there. Throughout the mountains, it's really expensive. I've visited, as you know, many times at Breckenridge, which is expensive than Aspen, right?
It's still expensive, though, yeah.
Yeah, but less than
Breckenridge. Everybody here calls it Breckenridge because it's so cold.
It's so what?
Cold.
Really? It's so cold? It's colder than Aspen?
Oh, yeah. Breckenridge. Yeah, it's very cold.
You know, that's true. Yeah. You know, because you know how I found Breckenridge? I live in Oklahoma, of course. And when I was going to do vacations with my family when they were – kids were much smaller here in Oklahoma. Of course, the summertime, it's very hot. So I was looking for someplace cool. And I looked in Colorado at the mountain resorts and what was like the coolest mountain area. And Breckenridge, as you said, was the coldest area of all. So that's how I picked it to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you know, a few weeks ago, they had to close down Crested Butte because they had too much snow.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before in 20 years.
Wow. Okay, well, I could talk to you all day about Colorado. Love that state. But we're talking about today astral projection. So,
you're
going to tell us about the history of it, and maybe if you have time, a little bit about, how to do it, maybe.
You know, astral projecting is not for the faint-hearted. It actually takes a big toll on your nervous system. I'm sure there's a lot of your listeners out there who go to bed and wake up more tired than when they went to bed. And that's very often because they've been out of their bodies all night. And it can be very, very hard on your neural system. I don't encourage people to do it very often because it takes its toll. It's not good for your heart. And it's something that is so addictive because once you start to do it, it's like when you go to bed, it's like this incredible journey and you see all these different things and people and spirits and, you know, ancestors, and you go through time and you see your friends have passed over. There's no limit to what you can do. The earliest record of astral projecting happened in the ancient Egyptian and Greek temples. To be part of the temples in the ancient days, for instance, in Egypt, you had to pass to get to the second level in the ancient mystery school studies. You had to prove that you were psychic and you could astral project. So very often in the first phases, there were three levels in the ancient mystery schools, and they lasted a long time, sometimes up to 7 years for one level. And the first level, you just had to be smart enough to get in. It didn't matter if you were a slave or a woman or white or black. It didn't matter. As long as you were smart enough to get in, you could. They studied things like astronomy, astrology, mathematics, all kinds of things that we still study today, you know, the basic principles of study. But when you wanted to go to level two, you had to have some psychic aptitude. So what they would do is they would make you fast, and then you would perform ablutions. That's ceremonial cleansings where you prepare yourself for the ritual. And then if you were to look at a pyramid, you would be if you were to look at the sort of bottom of the pyramid in the center, that's the Queen's Chamber. So when you started out, you were brought to the Queen's Chamber. You were wrapped like a mummy, and you were put into a sarcophagus. You were carried up to the King's Chamber, and then they put a lid on the sarcophagus, and the lid was thousands of pounds heavy, and you were left there for 9 days. And in those 9 days, you were meant to go to the four corners of Egypt, gather as much news as you could, and then you would have to report what you saw to the high priests. Also, they would put corn kernels in your hands, and you had to have sprouted stalks growing in addition to having been able to go to the four corners of Egypt and report the news. So they would arrange to have the news garnered from the four corners while you were away in the sarcophagus for 9 days with no food, no water, no air, nothing. And then if you were still alive when they opened the sarcophagus, you would be given something to eat, and then you'd be taken before the high priests, and you had to report to them what you saw in the four corners of Egypt, and on top of that, corn kernels should have sprouted into plants. And that was the only way you were allowed to go to the next level of the ancient mystery schools. So it was pretty remarkable how many people were able to do that, how many people survived being unwrapped. You know, they put that sort of gauzy paper around you, so many people would die when they would do it. But more people ended up astral projecting and getting the information. And then when you were brought before the high priests, you had to report the information. And from that point, you were granted yes, access, or no to the ancient temples. So when you worked in the ancient temples, they were very strict. They had strict rules. But, you know, you had to be a part of that to go to the Ancient Mystery School level 2 and level 3. Have you ever noticed on the sort of headpiece of Cleopatra, she's got that snake coming out in the middle of the headpiece?
Right.
Ever noticed?
Yes.
From the,
yes.
Anything? Yeah, that is Kundalini rising. That's the serpent of fire. That's to show that she went through the Ancient Mystery School studies. When you wear with the snake, it means you studied the ancient mystery schools. But anyway, when you astral project, you have to really be careful how you do it, where you go, the frame of mind you're in. If you go to the astral plane, you're going to meet some very seedy characters who are going to try to frighten you. If you go, there's three exit points, so you can go out through your solar plexus. You can go out through your third eye. You can go out through your crown. A lot of times when people say they look down and saw their body, they've gone out through their solar plexus. So people that don't really have any spiritual studies or beliefs, or maybe they just got in a bad car accident and they said they were looking down on the accident and they could see the ambulance taking them away. Those were people that accidentally astral projected through their solar plexus. If you're leaving through the third eye, you go backward or forward in time. And if you go out through the crown, you go through the tunnel of light. And the tunnel of light takes you to, well, what you could only describe as God. And it's a very, it's a pulsing, it almost looks like you're in a, like a tissue or something. It's got like striated threads running through it, and it pulses kind of fast, much faster than a heartbeat. And it seems like you go down this tunnel forever. When you get to the end of that tunnel, there's light, and the light never shows a physical face. If anything, you'll see faces come through the light of such as people you've known from the past, pets. I remember once I went out of my body. I've been going out of my body since I was a kid, but this time I went out of my body, I was about 24. And two people I knew that had died, one when we were 13 and one when we were 16, they appeared through the light. And they started laughing at me that I got old. They're like, oh, you got so old, oh my God. Because they died so young. I look like an old lady to them, and I was 24. And sometimes what they'll do, I remember, I to go to this place and reach this level of activation was so remarkable. And I remember one of my friends said, you need chapstick. Now, I don't use chapstick. I got nothing against chapstick. I have other products I like way more than chapstick. So it wasn't like it was in my head, oh, I need chapstick or my lips hurt or something. And I was like, God, I've come all this way. I've gone through the tunnel of light, and they tell me I need chapstick. I was so upset. And the next thing I know, my friend put the chapstick on my lips through the light, and I felt what I could only describe as nirvana coming through my body. So what happens very often is when you go through this tunnel, usually what you see is what we could only prescribe as God. And it was always a guy, very kind, very personal, very loving. And it doesn't matter what your life is like, you don't want to leave this light. It's like, it's the most beautiful, perfect place you can fathom. And several times I've tried to like stay and not go back in my body, but it was like it's like being a grain of sand against the ocean. It's impossible. Even though I have a relatively good life, I've knock on wood, I don't have any big complaints, but when you're there, you're filled with such a sense of euphoria and freeness and joy. You just are terrified to come back down here to earth. And that was always it's a shock to your system. sometimes I'm sure many of your listeners, when they come back from a journey, they feel like they're falling. And they feel like they're being slam dunked into their bodies like a basketball. They feel like they're coming down from a high place. You wake up and you're like, you know, it shocks you because the vibration to get there is so much harder than to come back down. It's like when you get to the vibration of heightened conductivity to leave your body, and you finally get to the destination, it's a lot of work. Except when you do it in your sleep, then you just do it automatically. And many, 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 many of your listeners do it automatically. Many of us do it automatically. But when you get there and you come back in your body, that's where the culture shock happens, because it's such a like feeling of helplessness and sort of like violence almost when you get back into the physical world. And you know, once I was working, and I had to go to Africa, and I was working in Africa, and I remember they used to sing. I guess they'd sing at sunrise or something. And I just couldn't stand going out of my body in this hotel room because the ceiling was like wood and it smelled like damp. And in spirit, I would be by the ceiling of my room. Sometimes, though, very often you go past any physical barriers. I remember one night in England, because I lived in a house that was originally built in the 1600s, and part of it, and the other part was built in the 1800s, but it was the carriage house to Napoleon and Eugenie's big mansion house in Chislehurst in England. And I remember I was coming back in my body, and half my body was in and half my body was out of the walls. The walls were thick, very, very thick. And I saw two friends from high school waving at me. And I thought, oh, my God. I mean, I really, truly thought they were at my front door. And after a few hours, I woke up. I went downstairs. And in the mailbox, the mail would come through the front door. There was a letter from each of them on the same day, which was quite remarkable, seeing as I hadn't spoken to either one of them in over 20 years. So it's just kind of ironic that they both arrived at the same exact day in the same mail from different parts of the country, and they'd never written me before, and they were both waving to me as I was half in and out of the wall of the house. And I was really worried, oh my God, what are they going to think, because they see me floating through the wall, you know, because all sorts of things don't have like relativity to them. When you go out of your body, depending upon your mindset, it's very important that you have a goal to where you want to go. One of my friends died in a terrible motorcycle accident, and I was really worried about him because he was kind of crazy, and he was only 35, and you know, at the time I was like 34, and I thought I better go check on him. So I left my body, and he was in, all I can equate it to, it looks like Swiss cheese. Time looks like, I know that it's hard to explain this, but it was like you go through these layers of Swiss cheese, if you can imagine this. And I found him, and he was covered in dirt. And I remember I looked at him, and I said, do you know you've died? Oh, the minute he saw me, he became clean. Like, he didn't want me to see him dirty. And the minute he saw me, he became super clean. And I looked at him and I said, do you realize you've died? And he goes, no, I didn't die. I'm just on a trip. Like, because sometimes he would drop acid and stuff. And I said, no, this isn't a trip. You've died this time. And I said, let's go see your mother. So I remember going through the Swiss cheese. And I remember he was way faster than me getting through these holes of time, tunnels of time. And there was his mom. We saw his mom from above. She was crying. She was really upset. And his brothers were upset. They were very accomplished, intelligent doctors. They weren't idiots. So they weren't the type of people to be emotionally unstable. Long story short, it dawned on him that he had actually died. And then, you know, it's a big relief when a spirit knows it's died. Sometimes when spirits pass over, they don't know they've died. They think they're in a dream or they're on a bad trip. And so it wasn't until I went out and found him and saw him and told him that he knew. And this is kind of interesting because I remember one time I astral projected and I was in heaven. And there were throngs and throngs of people. And I remember everyone, it was like a wave, like a herd of people. And I remember they were all looking at me and laughing because I was still carnate. I was still in my body. And my friend was like, oh, I got to show you something. It's so cool. You're going to love this. And because he was really into music and Grateful Dead and all that. And I was like, okay, you know, I thought it would be interesting, whatever it was. And we get to this giant concert. And all of a sudden, I'm whisked away from him. I'm on the stage. I'm in what I can only equate as like a box of ice. It wasn't cold, but I couldn't see out, and everything was muffled. But through the feet, the bottom of the cube I was in, I could pick up vibrations, and it was Jimi Hendrix. And I don't really know Jimi Hendrix. Like, I wasn't somebody that listened to Jimi Hendrix or anything, but I remember how good he could play the guitar, this guy. And I remember he was walking around the cube and making gestures with the guitar and, like goofing around playing the music while I was around the cube. And I remember everybody was laughing and cheering because they thought it was so funny. But because I wasn't allowed to watch the show because I wasn't dead yet, I guess. And so sometimes when you go out of your body, every time you go out of your body, you see things that are pretty hard to put into words. The best way to go out of your body, I would say, if it depends. If you want to just go out of your body, go out through your solar plexus. Just see a golden funnel of light and just keep seeing yourself going through that funnel of light. And then when you feel the time is right, you know, allow yourself to stop and see what's around you, and you'll probably see yourself. And I teach this in class. You know, last night I taught a class I've had for, this is almost the 18th year, and I brought them up to meet their guardian angels, and these people were, everyone in the room had quite a profound experience, because I have a school here, and it's, you know, if you go out through the like I said before, the third eye, you can go back in time. You can see your grandmother. You can see people that you loved. You know, you could go to moments in your life that were profound and meaningful. You can go in the future, see what's coming down the road for you. But if you go through the crown, that's when you go through the tunnel. That's sort of the hardest one to get to. You need to get to the highest vibrations to go there. You could still, I'm sure a lot of your listeners could still do it. So, you know, I'm already scheming over how to do this because I'm making it sound a lot simpler than it is. But basically, if your listeners could just see themselves going through this funnel of light, like a tunnel of light, I should say, that's going out through their third eye or their crown or their solar plexus, and just keep flowing out through that light, it will take them to a destination. But they should have a goal of where they want to go. It's so important to have a goal. Otherwise, you'll land in this random place and you'll be scared, you know, because you can encounter some strange people out there. Some very, very strange spirits are out there. And remember, when you go out of your body, you're going to see people from all the time zones. Once I went out of my body in England, my place, Chislehurst, is in the Book of Druids. It's a very old city outside London. And I remember I went to a graveyard near my house. Don't ask me why I went to this graveyard, but I did. And I remember I wanted to ask I saw spirits in the graveyard. And I remember walking up to a woman who is from, I'd say, the 16th century. She had on one of those tall hats. And she was talking to a man from the 18th century. And I remember I walked up and I said, excuse me. And I remember how badly I scared her. She was horrified. And I thought, oh my God, I'm probably the only person that ever scared a ghost, because she was a ghost, but she was afraid because I was a human. And I remember they kept saying to me, do you know how lucky you are? It's just amazing. They didn't say amazing, but they were just astonished that I could, you know, be in their frequency. So it's possible. There's a lot to see. I encourage you guys to try it out. But whatever you do, don't do it every night. If you do it every night, you're going to get chronic fatigue. Some of you probably have chronic fatigue and you don't know why. That's why. And if you want to stay in your body, make sure you put yourself in a gold bubble of light. I mean, even imagine candle flame flickers going out over each of your chakras, root, sacral, solar, heart, throat, third eye, crown. Just see like candle flame being blown out, or see like I like a camera lens clicking shot on each chakra. And then always surround yourself in a golden bubble of light, because if you leave yourself open, you're a walking sensory pad. So you're going to get depressed, you're going to get irritable, and you're going to get, some people, I think, get suicidal from it, because you don't want to be overstimulated. There's too much primal energy on this planet. Now, this planet is very much like a jungle, and we're in a prehistoric zone of the universe. Most of the universe is hundreds of millions of light years old. Earth is only 14 billion years old. That's not very old. We're like the infancy area of the universe. So it's very primitive, it's very primal, and you have to take precautions and take it seriously when you start playing with fire.
Okay? All right. That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Angel. That really covers a lot. I really love
yes.
that.
Thank you. And if you're, one day, I keep telling people this, I will be teaching classes online. If they just keep checking in at angelville.net and drop me a line, I'll put them on my list of people. I've got to get it together. I had a class 5 years ago, and I just haven't had time, but I'm probably going to do one again soon, so maybe like in the next few months. So if anybody wants to go to angelville.net, you can read more about this and read more about what you could do yourself. So thank you, Mike.
Okay, thank you, Angel. Beautiful show. We'll see you next week. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you so much, Mike. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Alrighty, that's Angel, Angel Cusack, and again, angelville.net. Okay, that's going to do it for today. Wow, if you missed any of the shows that we had today or any of the other days, they're all there in the archives. So make sure you check them out. We started today at 12:30 Central Time. We only took 2 hours off, and we have gone straight. So hope you guys have enjoyed it. Love to hear your emails, Facebooks. I'll be live tomorrow afternoon for one 30-minute show, and that's at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Other than that, I will be back Monday because there's no show Sunday. Sorry to say that, but with the Super Bowl and everything, most people will be watching the Super Bowl either for the game, for the commercials, or the halftime show with Lady Gaga. So one of the three. I found out in the first couple of years of doing my show, no matter how much spiritual people say they're not into sports, no one is here on Super Bowl night. So we're all going to take the night off. So, and then I'll be back Monday. We'll kick off the week for another great week here. So, all right, everybody. Take care. Much love. Thanks, Bonnie, for all your help. I appreciate you immensely. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And good night, Lisa, out there. And good night, world.